Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
10 years to the day since Cambridge 105 Radio made its first broadcast, going live on July the 20th, 2010, unless you believe Wikipedia, when it was the 19th. These days, those days, we were just on FM. Now it's digital radio, online, on-demand, radio player, smart speakers. We don't play so many songs because we have to list all these things where you can get us. Anyway, we're joined by radio legend Trevor Dann. Good morning, Trevor.
How very kind of you. Good morning, Julian and Lucy.
Good morning, Trevor.
So, in theory, Trevor, thank you for joining us, by the way. In theory, listeners...
That's always a pleasure.
In theory, listeners should have no trouble finding us. But I'm just wondering if all these new platforms also bring a bewildering array of choice that people really just can't get to grips with.
Well, it's much more complicated than it was when 105 started, isn't it? You know, 10 years ago, most listening was on FM. And nowadays, it's over 50% nationally listening digitally. And I would guess in Cambridge that figure would probably be higher. And it's not just DAB, you know, it's smartphones and smart speakers and all the rest of it. I actually think that it's got easier, though, to find radio stations because you can just shout at your smart speaker or you can scroll up and down your DAB or your whatever you've got in your car. I think it's not as hard, and particularly if you're called Cambridge Radio, which we are, with a little 105 tucked in the middle, it does rather suggest that that's what we do.
So the old-fashioned sort of does what it says on the tin, really.
I think so, yeah. And, you know, if you believe in local radio, as I do, then I think you should be named after the place that you're broadcasting from and to. So that's why we're in a good place.
Because it kind of used to be rivers, didn't it? All the radio stations were named after rivers. And then they went through a phase of calling themselves letters. I think there was, I was trying to remember the one which took over Harrods AM frequencies around here, one of the sort of the early sort of oldies stations which were around. And then, of course, people went into definitive articles. But now people do seem to actually enjoy putting the name radio into their station again.
Well, I think radio's become a bit hip, hasn't it, since podcasts arrived and the radio industry actually began to call itself audio. Curiously enough, the word radio, I think, is a bit cool. There was a time when it was written off, everything was going to be television. Well, that didn't happen. Now we've got on-demand audio, which is really just radio when you want it, rather than when the broadcaster tells you you've got to find it. I think there is more quality and diverse audio programming than there's ever been in my lifetime. You know, if you go back even 10 years, you know, there was Radio Cambridgeshire and there was Heart, Q103 had just become Heart. There wasn't really a great deal of choice and there was virtually nothing on digital. You know, look now, you could probably find a station doing 24-hour polkas if you look hard enough.
All the polkas all the time.
Absolutely.
So what's happened to local radio then? The commercial stations seem to have been taken over by national brands.
Well, the local radio idea of the 1970s, when commercial local radio started, was about let's give an opportunity for local listeners and local advertisers. And gradually, the people who owned these stations sold them to one another and gradually aggregated them into these big groups, largely because, not to be too critical, but they are businesses that are designed to please their shareholders. And you do that by maximising your audience and minimising your costs. So local radio, which is quite expensive, doesn't make you enough money. Hence, Global Radio and Bauer pretty much own everything now. Wireless Group owns a few on the margins. But local radio is too expensive for them. They cannot make enough money out of it. And that's why the commercial end of it has disappeared. And similarly at the BBC, where they've got their own financial problems, you can see them just gradually nipping and tucking local BBC radio so that you've got, you know, Radio Cambridgeshire down the road from us just doing its 4-hour slabs every day and getting rid of all the rich, diverse output that I think makes up, you know, local radio at its best. I think community or local radio is made up of a bunch of different communities, and I think it's right that you should be able to do programmes not just for different racial communities, but you should be doing, you know, something for jazz fans, something for rock fans, something for Polish people, something, you know, all the things that we do, because those communities make up the big community. And I think our role as license holders from Ofcom of a community radio license is to do that.
Does it mean it's really then left to us and the BBC up to a point? You mentioned some of the issues that they have, but it feels like stations like Cambridge 105 Radio, you know, people like Future up in Norwich, or sort of Biggles down in Biggles Wade, is it up to them to, if you like, be the local station these days, maybe on a lesser cost footing? You know, very few people at this radio station get paid, and that in a way is both a blessing and a curse, really. But it does mean that you get a whole load of people coming in, and sometimes we're able to do things that we wouldn't be able to do if we were a station which is beholden to all those shareholders.
Well, I think that's completely right, and we're here to be a place where people can train and learn and volunteer. And sometimes that means that perhaps some of our programmes don't sound as professional as we would like them to do, although, honestly, the way we've coped with the pandemic has been a huge tribute to the people who do contribute to the station on a volunteer basis. But I agree with you. I think the future, though, is for us to reimagine ourselves as an audio provider for Cambridge and South Cams, who also have a broadcast platform. I think people are increasingly moving away from making appointments to listen, not so much thinking, oh, I must tune into my show at 8 o'clock on a Thursday or, you know, lunchtime on a Friday. People are thinking, well, I want this show, be it about cycling or cooking or sport or whatever it's about, and I want it when I want it. And so I think we need to move over the next 10 years towards thinking of our programming as, if you like, podcasts.
Yeah.
That we then cycle into a broadcast schedule.
So podcasts, the way ahead, you think?
Well, I think we call them podcasts as though they are different things than radio shows. And of course they are different because they're in your ear and not on a speaker normally, and they're obviously not live. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a place for live and pre-recorded. But I do think that people want to be in charge. I think you know yourself, if you look at your own audio listening and particularly your television viewing, you know, we're in a world of, I want to watch Hamilton and I want it now. We're not in the world of, what time is EastEnders on? Things are moving much more towards the consumer making their own schedules.
And do you think that people will still be listening on, like, FM, or will it all be going just towards the digital world?
Well, I think FM will carry on for a little while. I think particularly in local radio, a lot of our listeners are at the older end of the age group, and, you know, they're not early adopters and not often so keen and interested in the digital platforms. And I think FM has, excuse me, I think FM has some life left in it. But as you know from meetings we've been at, Julian and Lucy, I'm a big believer in dropping the words 105 from our name, because I think increasingly people don't know what it means. I think, you know, having an FM frequency in your title makes you sound a bit old.
And it's interesting. I rattled off at the beginning all the various ways that you can listen to us on. And I noticed it happened the other day, you know, when you have 105, a number on the end, people feel obliged to add the FM bit, even though it's like never been in the station name. But then we added, you know, radio to become Cambridge 105 Radio, and now all of a sudden people have abbreviated us to 105 Radio, as if there's like we're part of some national chain up and down the country in various towns and cities.
You mentioned that kind of litany of platforms, and I am a bit tired of all radio stations saying, you know, on FM, online, on DAB, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, you're a radio station. You know, grow up. You know, there's a kind of getaway. You're on DAB. Who'd have guessed that? I think it belongs in an old world. It's like, you know, calling your show that goes out at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening drive time.
So, we've got the vision. We're changing the name of our show today. From today, it's going to be called Steffi Callister, as opposed to calling it Neil Whiteside, which is what.
That's a very good name for it. And welcome back, Steffi, by the way.
Yeah, very much so.
But, you know, I do think we have to recognise that patterns of listening are changing. There's a report out this morning from National Public Radio in the States, which is the nearest the American listeners get to something a bit like the BBC. And what they've seen during the pandemic is that listening to their breakfast shows has plummeted because nobody's in their car going to work.
I knew it.
Listening to their lunchtime and daytime shows and to their podcasts has gone up. You know, obviously, one hopes things will get back to normal at some stage. But perhaps those great concentrations that we put onto commuting time, you know, we need to review. And maybe we should be putting more effort into lunchtime than we do now and into afternoons. I mean, I personally, I'm very pleased. And I think people should know, Julian, that you're not just the co-host of breakfast, but you are the editorial lead of the station, which means you're in charge of our schedule. And I think everyone listening will be pleased with what we're doing over the summer, which is putting some of our richer weekend and evening output into the daytimes. And I personally, I would like us to do more of that.
I think there's some good shows which without giving people too much information about the mechanics of how the station works, you sometimes feel there are some great shows which occasionally get lost for whatever reason, and just the opportunity to give people a chance to hear them during their afternoon is
pretty good. I don't think the guys who make, I'll just pick one, the guys who make Flavour, I don't think they make that thinking, oh, this is only for people who are around on a whatever it is, Saturday or Sunday lunchtime. They think it's for anybody to listen to anytime they want it. And the idea that that is not suitable for a daytime audience, I think it's just sort of old-fashioned thinking, really.
Well, Trevor, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Good to speak to you, as always.
And happy birthday to us, Julian.
Yes, happy birthday to us. thanks very much for joining us on the early lunchtime show.
Thanks,
Trevor. It's 9:22 now.
Live and local.
Cambridge Breakfast. Cambridge 105 Radio.